not only our children, but the old people who love them. And we welcome us. Always we welcome us. All of us. No matter our age or abilities, no matter our origins or orientations, we are here together in an ever-growing circle of care and compassion. Our service this morning is lively and mostly lighthearted. It may run a little over, with just a touch of irreverence thrown in now and then for good measure. Maybe this will even be the day that we start dancing in the aisles as we invite God's problem child, you know who that is, right, to lead us in our opening song, Still Not Dead. Especially if you see somebody you haven't met yet, meet them. We'll settle down. We'll get a little churchy here. Our tradition is to begin our services by lighting the chalice, the symbol of our shared faith. And it looks like Rosie's going to do that for us this morning. And as she does, oh, Isaac is going to, where is Isaac? Okay. Okay, then Isaac, okay. Come on, Isaac. You come up and light the chalice for us. And as you do that, we are going to join together in the responsive reading on the screen. Your words are in red. May the spirit of life catch fire as we light this chalice.
Older than time itself, may the spirit of all beings come unto us as we gather this morning
to
the circle of the
Herald. As we celebrate the adventures of elderhood, can you blow it out now? There we go. Thank you, Isaac. As we celebrate the adventures of elderhood, sing in our hearts, opening to us all that is possible. Keep us rooted in our commitment to celebrate our wholeness with vitality, even as we fly free.
May the spirit of life burn bright among the angels.
And now we'll sing together, Spirit of Life. Acceptance of that faith's doctrines and creeds. But Unitarian Universalism is not a creedal faith, which means that we do not ask those in our congregations to believe specific things. In Unitarian Universalism, the moment of commitment happens when one joins a congregation as a member. Because we are a covenantal faith, we ask for something more difficult from our members. We ask that they actually covenant with one another. This is what being a member of a Unitarian Universalist congregation means, covenanting, agreeing to walk together with mutual respect and loving support, and to restore that covenant whenever it is broken. We also covenant to be together in ways that intentionally build beloved community so that we can learn and practice the skills to build beloved community wherever we go. This morning I have the very special privilege of welcoming 7 new members to WOOF, and I'd like to call them up to the stage now. Lynn Clower, Martha and Wade McJacobs, Maureen Peace, Zanna Martin and Chuck Steffi. And Marcia Waugh is unable to be with us this morning, but we do welcome her indeed. Sure, come on, we've got plenty of room for you. Now, what we might want to do is move aside so that we can see the words on the screen. No, don't hide. No hiding. No hiding. Okay. All right. Good. All right. So, just to let you all know what it is that you're being welcomed into, will the congregation now recite the short version of our covenant with me? The words are on the screen. We covenant to take responsibility for our feelings, behavior, and communications, to maintain civility and compassion in the face we covenant to strengthen our community
by being generous with our time, talent, energy, and resources. We covenant to encourage each other's personal growth and to honor those practices of democracy, shared ministry, and collaborative leadership.
So, now that you know what we're asking of you, if you're still interested, please, if you're still interested and still willing to commit to this fabulous community, please speak together loud and clear your words of joining.
We accept the responsibility and challenges of membership and enter freely into this covenant. We pledge to continue our own journey to seek truth and meaning and to participate in the ministry and vision of this congregation.
And the fellowship's response? Love is the spirit of this fellowship, and so we welcome you to our covenant and congregation with love. I present to you now our newest WOF members. We'll be signing the book with Annie as we sing our song of welcome, Come Sing a Song with Me. Number 346 in the hymnal, but also words on the screen. So, Long life is not a privilege that everyone gets to enjoy. And long life surrounded by not only loving family, but by loving community as well, is an even more special privilege. So it is that some of us... Am I? Okay. I happen to be one of those. So this is the time in our service when, as we prepare to receive your monetary offerings, we take a few moments to reflect on not only what we have to be grateful for, but what it is that we have to give. For gratitude and giving are a never-ending circle. WOOF is sustained partially by the money that you may place in the basket, but just as much by your generous gifts of time, talent, and your everyday care of each other in supportive community. So if the ushers will come forward, Betsy will play us a little music too, as we think about what it is that we are grateful for. And if you'd like to speak it out, you're welcome to. As I said, I am grateful for being able to wake up this morning. Rosie. Grateful for air conditioning, gotcha. Thumbs up on that. Anybody else?
Flowers.
I'm grateful for my shoulder surgeon.
Absolutely. And I think that if Trish Neitzel were here this morning, she would say she's grateful for her hip replacement, which was very successful. Yes. And grateful for this fellowship. Thank you, Paul. Yeah. We're with you on that.
Grateful for music.
Yes. Thank you so much for your grateful monetary offerings as well. And let us join together in our affirmation of gratitude again.
Let us be grateful
when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others. And now, if there are children out there who want to come forward and join Rosie in the front row, we would love to have you, because we're going to talk a little bit this morning about the people we love and the people who love us, especially the old people. Because this today is a celebration of elderhood, and that means celebrating being old. So I think that all of you have old people in your life, and I know that this little guy does. Who is that? Anybody here want to identify that photo? Would that be you, Isaac? Yeah? You want to tell us about you and who that old guy in the photo is? Is that your grandpa? Yeah. So that's your grandpa. And what do you call him? You call him Papa. Yeah. How many of you call your grandfather Papa? Oh, and that is what? Baba. All right. So I bet that was a fun time, Isaac, was it? You and Grandpa having a visit? On your vacation. Perfect. And your cousin. Great. So that's part of your family, isn't it? And I bet they all love you a whole lot. So I think we've got another photo coming up here. We recognize those people. Now, this is very odd because Noreen is here, Grandma is here, but Paisley, for some reason, is MIA, and she could be anywhere. She's probably downstairs, and we're gonna miss her. But I know that if she were here, she would have wonderful things to say about her grandma, Noreen.
I can say wonderful things about her.
Well, you can say a couple of things, because I know you would want to say a lot of things, but maybe just a couple quick things.
Paisley's amazing.
Okay, yeah, we know that. And I think there's one more photo to look at, and that is... Yes! It is Irene and Avery's grandparents. And what do we call them? Amen and Baba. Wow. And you. And Irene says, and me. Absolutely. Absolutely. So.
For
a baby, right. Super. Wonderful. It is so wonderful to be loved and to love. And Rosie, you are here, and I know that you have grandparents here. What do you want to say about them? Anything?
I want to say that my grandma and grandpa are great-grandparents that... In the morning, my grandpa always makes good fruit smoothies for me and my grandma and him. So they are the best grandparents that I could have.
Yes, that's true. And how about Bruce? Yeah, Bruce, what do you want to say? Yeah, Grandpa?
My grandma is my mom. Is here and my grandpa is old.
That's exactly the way it should be. Yes. That's exactly the way it should be. So old people loving young people and young people loving old people and all of us together in this wonderful place. So let us stand together, form arches across the aisle, and sing these beautiful children out to their art eclipses. They are the treasures of our future. Let us love them into that future together. So we're going to hear now from some of our very own enlivened elders. Their up close and personal comments on being old. And I'm going to kick that off with a poem that I wrote a long number of years ago, that is very, very true today. It's called Then and Now. Then I was deliberately outspoken. I weighed and measured every word. Now I just speak out. Then I choreographed every move and counted every calorie. Now I move as I am moved to move, often in the direction of dessert. Then I lived for the future, never without a goal and a plan. Now I live now, and my only goal is to be alive in every now that comes until there are no more. Then I wondered what it might be like to get old. Now I am old, and the wonder of it goes beyond anything I could have imagined. And next comes Rosie, who is now and forever older than I am, and reminds me, and it reminds me every chance she gets that I will never catch up.
In flight mode.
You had to bring that up.
Okay, I'm a 90 issue, most of you know, and I've learned to play the age card. Back when I first became an elder, I was insulted when people would offer to help me with things because I could do it. Now I've learned, for example, in the airplane, when you lift up your... I can do that, but I don't, because somebody always offers, and they feel so good at helping this old lady. And I feel good because I can just smile and say thank you. So anyway, the age card is a good one. Remember that one. Remembering good times, friends, activities, maybe I've forgotten a lot of bad, but that's okay. I don't worry about what I've forgotten. There's so much to be remembered right now, and so much good to be remembered. And then there's politics. Oh, my God. I look ahead and do not see positive outcomes. My mother and sister were a year apart in age, and when they were 90, my aunt watched the news, read the newspapers, talked angry, sad. It was so bad. My mother never read the newspaper. She didn't watch TV for news. She was happy. Guess which one I'm doing. I believe in being physically active till the end.
Oh, oops.
Thank you. I am very active, as many of you know. I, you know, play tennis and I walk and with neighbors and friends. And of course, in addition, there's a daily afternoon nap. That's not physically active, but close. What is especially important is that I live in caring communities. There's WOOF. I've got so many friends here. In fact, I don't have any enemies. I live in a very loving family. My son is here right now, and we're going out for lunch afterward. I have many friends. I believe in friends. Here at WOOF, there I have a special friends because we meet together twice a month in the women's group, and then I meet once a month in the book group. And again, meeting people, sharing friends, this is a great place to do that. There's so much more to do between now and 100, which is my next milestone. And as John Denver sings, it's been a good life all in all. And as Maurice Chevalier says, I'm glad I'm not young anymore.
Larry, are you up?
Well, it looks different from up here. My first time at the podium. Well, good morning. My name is Larry, and I'm one of those old guys that Salima picked. Oh, do I have to start over?
No.
you, Kim.
That should be good. I'm one of those old guys that Salima picked for the service this morning, and I qualify by being 85 years old. All my adult life, I've heard old people say things like, getting old ain't for sissies, or things like, it's not easy getting old. I can't relate to that. To me, getting old just means time is running out. I have plenty to do, too much maybe, and I pretty much do the same things I've always done. I still hike, cycle, kayak, play hoops with my granddaughter while chasing basketballs around. I've even tried playing pickleball, but that didn't work out so good. I don't have eyes good enough for that anymore. And often I'm on my feet 6 hours a day when I volunteer at the Aviation Museum. You see, when you have all those aches and pains that old people complain about, your energy goes to healing, hoping for a recovery, hanging on to what you have. And what about all that time in the doctor's offices and pharmacies and dealing with insurance companies? Yes, for some, getting old isn't easy. Well, I made a commitment 50-some years ago that in my final years, my energy would be directed to good health. At the time, I didn't know how I would do that, but I kept my eyes and ears open for ideas so that I wouldn't have to endure the pain and suffering that I was watching my parents and grandparents go through. That goal became my mission, and over the years, I found ways to keep the dream alive. There are dozens of ways to do that, and through perseverance, I found ways that worked for me, and I realized that my way isn't the way that would work for everybody. I listen to several podcasts every week. Some are guided meditations. Others are news about the latest scientific developments in non-invasive therapies. Some alternative therapies cost money, and others do not. Most of what I hear isn't about stuff that makes the daily news, and you won't hear about it in medical school, but it's out there. And hundreds of credentialed practitioners are practicing and fixing health issues in ways we never knew about 50 years ago. So if you enjoy living and want to spend less time in medical offices and more time doing fun stuff for yourself, your family, your community, and others, first thing you need to do is think out of the box. Being healthy in old age can be easier than you think. I'm thankful that I am proactive, that I have been proactive over the years and able to continue living the dream. And it's not over yet. Thank you.
Good, you're keeping track of yourselves.
I'm Michelle Paquette, she and her pronouns. And, well, honestly, I'm not quite sure what I'm doing up here. I'm 70 years old, which I'm told is the new middle age. I do know that I've reached an interesting stage in my life. When I look in the mirror, my inner 20-year-old reacts. What the heck happened? Surely it's not just this passage of time. I know my relationship with others has changed. I am associating more with doctors and these old folks. I'm very popular over at Kaiser these days. Every specialist seems to want a piece of me, usually in a test tube. I'm so popular I have a personal phlebotomist. And, well, I suppose after 2,228,960,800 seconds, some wear and tear is to be expected. Well, that's 37,147,680 minutes of experience in my life, though. That certainly should give me something to talk about. There's physics and various flavors of engineering. There's baking and ham radio and good old Finnish carpentry. There's a lifetime of books and music and films. I may have even found a bit of wisdom in 619,128 hours. It's a strange and wonderful world, as Robert Heinlein wrote. But to be matter of fact about this world is to blunder into fantasy, and dull fantasy at that. As the real world is strange and wonderful, being strange and wonderful, I can do that. Never mind the clock.
Yes? Oh, my gosh. All right. Chalk that one up to me. Aww. Paul and Helen Love. Offer.
Good morning. Thank you so much for doing this. I'm 83, and I don't even know that yet. So I have a lot of memories of why aging is fine. I'm okay. I'll give a few of them. I was born and raised Catholic, and then I stopped after we got married. We stopped going to church. Our son Joseph was about 4 years old. And then every Sunday we'd be home, have breakfast. He came to the door crying, "Daddy, Joseph, what's wrong? Joey, what's wrong? Are we going to hell because we don't go to church on Sunday?" No. So we went church shopping and found Woof. So we've been members here for 50 years. And as a Irish Catholic, you know, they want your son to become a priest and all that. Well, our son became a UU minister, so I guess I go to heaven anyway. So. And then the other thing I'd add quickly is that one of the philosophies I found years ago, a lot of studying I've done, was called the Four Agreements. It's about the Toltec native people about 5,000 years ago. They're down in southern Mexico. Anyway, the Four Agreements, and I do that every day. Be impeccable with your word. Don't make assumptions. Don't take anything personally. Always do your best. That's how I spend my life. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Paul.
Our handrailings are nice, aren't they? I'm Helen Lyons, and I've been here since, I think Paul and I came in mid-1980s. His and my dates are a little bit different, as you all know. As in my way now. Oh, here it is. All right. I've entitled this talk, Just Thoughts on This Summer Morning. It doesn't run along really well, but I'm going to start out anyway. I look in the mirror now, and there looking back at me is either my mother, Norma, or my grandmother, Gertrude. The tilt of their head, their smile or frown, and their stance all show me that these two very loved women are still in my life and that I can access their advice when needed. So, I was bopping to the Four Seasons at the play the other night, the New Jersey Boys. I looked around at the audience and tried visualizing what they looked like when they were young, listening and dancing to their music. What changes we've seen, the cars, homes, work styles, eating out options, dress styles and standards, medicine advances saving my life, my eyesight, and helping people to live healthier lives. It's 2019 and COVID has struck. Now eating out several times a week and spending way too much money comes to an end. Our eating at home brings down the weight so that it becomes noticeable to me that I could maybe get rid of some of this awful weight. Because I've been training to become a guide dog trainer and that program is put on hold, I get Daisy May Rosebud, an English Labrador, at age 2 months to provide me the exercise I need and get me moving. This is at age 80. This is where I know I'm not old, because you can't do that with a dog. What old person would make such a rash decision to take on the now 50-pound pup? She's keeping me young with all the training and movement. I remind myself weekly of the time available for doing the things that need to be done and the pleasures I want to pursue. Refusing to complain and whine and instead putting on a grin, I take on new challenges. I have so many good memories and test my memory in playing those old times through, and I value the good life I've had. No, I'm not old.
We'd like to have Molly Devine come up and share a poem which is going to lead us into something wonderful.
Good morning.
There we go. I'd like to share this poem that has been traditionally the introduction to the coming slideshow for the couples that are longly weds in our congregation. our fellowship. The longlyweds know that it isn't about the golden anniversary at all, but it's about the unremarkable years that Hallmark doesn't even make a card for. It's about the second anniversary when they were surprised to find they cared for each other more than last year. And the fourth, when both kids had chicken pox and she threw her shoe at him for no real reason. The sixth, when he accidentally got drunk on the way home from work because being a husband and a father was so damn hard. It's about the 11th and the 12th and the 13th years when they discovered they could survive crisis. And the 22nd anniversary, when they looked at each other across the empty nest and found it good. It's about the 37th year when she finally decided she could never change him. And the 38th when he decided a little change wasn't all that bad. It's about the 46th anniversary when they both bought cards and forgot to give them to each other. But most of all, it's about the end of the 49th year when they discovered you don't have to be old to have your 50th anniversary.
And now it's time for Woof's Lonely Weds.
Pretend I need you now, and I need you, man, just
Well, I am faced with a bit of a dilemma. We are running quite a bit over time, and I am wondering how you feel about not sharing our joys and sorrows this morning. Is it okay with you? All right. Let's then just take a few minutes. Let's take a few minutes of quiet time just for some reflection, meditation, prayer. Whatever joys or sorrows you might be holding in your heart, hold them close. Give them a few minutes of your best energy and let them go. And as we do that, and Betsy accompanies us with some soft contemplative music, let's remember those that have left us in the last year. There are going to be some photos on the screen. One is missing, and that is Sue Alperin. We don't have a photo of her, but we certainly remember her after she left us back in September. So let's just take a few minutes, just a few minutes of quiet time. Let's just sing together. From you I receive, to you I give. This kind of tells the story of Woof.
Church community is an important part of my life. I have a very large family. I'm the oldest of 10 kids, and 8 of us live in the metro area, so there's a lot going on in my family all the time. But I often tell people, it's important to have your own friends, too, and a community that supports you in your spiritual side, which WUF is, does. I appreciate that. Now that we're old, John and I met here. Let me back up. John and I met here in 1986, and I thought at the time, well, we'll probably have at least 30 years together. I was 39 when we were married. Now we've had 35 years, and I think we might last another 10 at least. I'm always kind of wondering, how long is this adventure going to go on? But there's one thing about old age that I want to say, particularly to those who are still very young, and that is it's important to save up money. A lot of people our age, our friends, struggle. John and I don't. We have enough. But it's important to have enough and to plan for the future. I had parents who never mentioned that to me. They never planned for the future. They just did fine anyway. But a lot of parents do say that to their kids, and I'm taking this moment to say that to you. Don't forget to plan for the future.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Suzanne.
I'm a bit taller than Suzanne is. You know, when Salima invited us to talk about elderhood, I have to confess, it's irritating to me to think of being defined as elderhood. I understand that that is a term that some people feel they can connect with. I personally feel like I don't want that kind of definition. I don't want to be defined by elderhood. You hear on television, age is just a number. Well, again, are we using age, a number, to define what we are and what we do or whatever? Of course, the flip side of that is just. And I think that's something we need to take to heart. We define ourselves by the path we're on and how we find enrichment in our lives. And that's really what I try to focus on. Sometimes it isn't quite so easy. I'll second what Rosie was saying about getting on an airplane. Or we go to New York because our kids are living in New York, and we get on subways. And Sue automatically gets a seat, of course. I am standing in the middle of an aisle, kind of weaving around. And it's interesting to experience people getting up and say, here, would you like to take my seat? And I said, thank you. I'm thinking, hell yeah. Thank you.
That's one of the things to get us. Going upstairs much slower, going down even slower.
All right. Well, when Salima asked me to do this, my first thought was, you're calling me old. When I had the same thought as I guess Rosie did earlier, you know, when I turned 75, I realized that inside this old person was a young person wondering what the hell happened. And the other thought was, I can't possibly be old. I know all the words to the 60s songs. You know, I was singing along just the other day, dancing in my kitchen while I was baking. And then I had to sit down because things started to hurt. But it was fun for a minute, you know. And one of the other things about getting old is that I find that the aches and pains that have come, I feel like my body has deserted me in somehow. I'll wake up in the morning with a new ache or a bruise. I'm pretty sure the cat's beating me up at night, but I can't prove it right now. But other than that, you know, I think you get to this point in your life where, number one, I don't really care what people think. I don't worry about it too much. I'm not certainly worried about appearances all that much, although I could lose some weight, I am. But that's been a lifelong story. But I haven't really had a lot of people in my family to kind of show me what getting old is like, because all of my family died before 70. And I'm 75, so I've made it a lot longer than all of them. So I don't really have anything to compare it to. All I know is that in my mind, I don't feel old. In my thoughts, I don't feel old. My body, yeah, well, you know. But, you know, I keep going, and that's just it. I've got my daughter, I've got my granddaughter, and they bring me life and joy and spirit and keep me busy. Although my daughter is turning into my mother, I told her she promised I could be the mom this time. You said I could be the mom this time, but you know. Anyhow, but all in all, I'm finding it not so bad. I thought it was going to be 75. It was just a number that was like, can't possibly be me. But here we are, and I'm enjoying every minute of it while I have my minutes. So that's it.
Well, thank you, thanks. And now, again, in the interest of time, Annie, bless her heart, has said, I'm not going to talk this morning. But you know who is? Norma Edith Heise. She has some poems to share with you. Old woman poems. That works?
I forgot my cane. And I feel pretty good about it. Okay, I wasn't expecting, I don't know what I'm expecting here, so I'm sort of, okay. Old woman searching, or I have a dream. They say there's a place for mom. Old woman is mom, looking for her place. Everyone has good ideas, but Mom has the dreams. Enough dreams for more decades. How much would another decade cost, she asks her in her voice. Calculating your bank account, I figure you've got 2 to 6 years. Some people don't want to stick around that long, you know. Not me. I can get a job, she presumes. Come down, kid. Who do you think you are? Thanks for asking. I think I'm a teacher with dozens of master's degrees. One each in new ideas, new ways, new energy, new heart valve, and 89 years experience. Life responds in her tired voice. It's 7:30, dark. Let's go to bed. Read that book about the old couple who forgot their son for a lifetime. We'll wake up at 2 a.m. and talk about the right place for Mom. I have two old men left me in 2022, and there might have been a photograph here of them. And I'm going to go ahead and read the poem that goes with the photograph. Old woman's old men. Here they are, old woman's darlings, sitting around doing what old men do. Some have to watch the game. Some have to read the phone. All of them have to sleep a lot. Both flew the coop in 2022. Bud in February, Ron in August, the day before her birthday. This morning, she misses them something awful. When Toots Thielman and Kenny Werner play I Did It My Way, the right song for both of them. Men like to do things their own way. They don't like new good-looking shirts. They hang them together in the closet, choosing to wear the one from decades past. She thinks it's becoming fabric. It's because fabrics have to be washed a lot to absorb the essence of the man. She misses them, their shirts, and their shirts, something awful today. And this is the poem that Salima asked for. And she mentioned that there would be some irreverence today. And this is a pretty irreverent poem. It's a little bit political, and I consider it tragic humor. Old woman's warning. How does old woman speak delicately about these matters to her under 80 friends? Or is it required? In her new home, where almost all of us are up there, the code word is bathroom, meaning so much to so many. Its absence, fearsome. Consequences, irreversible. Paraphernalia, mandatory. A change of clothes and a shower, not available except in the dependable comfort of home. All else, a risk. Birthday parties, weddings, foot and baseball games, political candidate rallies. Incidentally, the only two candidates for president who will manage America will undoubtedly need bathrooming. At unexpected times and places. Old woman estimates cleanup time 1/2 to 2 or 3 hours. Perhaps a good deal more for presidents. Surely they will be followed by porta potties, newly designed with showers, closets, dressing rooms, and brand new dark blue suits with brand new red and blue ties. Afterward, they will be virtually altered to look just like themselves. Bathrooming is a word her computer thinks is a misspelled noun. Old woman declares it henceforth a necessary verb.
Thank you so much. Got it? All right.
There you have it. There we are. And we're going to close today by singing together the old, old favorite, Young at Heart. Lyrics are on the screen. Stand, form circles, hold hands, whatever you'd like. But let us remember that we are, as old as we are, always young at heart. Very young.